Hello, and welcome to the Well Collab Feminine Leadership Podcast. I am Tammy Zadunik, founder of the Well Collab and your host for today. Our podcast features feminine leadership principles and women leading both in their professional and personal lives. Let's get started.
There's no sound editing the house.
I'm sorry.
You do your own editing.
Because it looks like really complicated. I watched some videos about like...
I have friends that do it with me. We who do it, not with me, as well as me.
Right. It's all about the content.
It's all about like the content.
Yeah.
I think, okay, we can improve this, but I'm not going to not start because it's not.
Exactly. And that's what keeps so many of us
in my life
from like keeping.
Oh my goodness.
There's so many kisses.
Sophia is getting kisses right now. In case we keep this in,
so honored.
She probably will. Sophia is getting kisses from my dog
now. The paralyzing feeling of not being perfect is what I live with every day. And I want to grow from that, like beyond that. And I want that right now, because when I have my daughter, I want her to see like mom doesn't have to be perfect to do great things for the world and to be who I need her to be for me.
So I know, I think a lot of us have the perfectionist in us, but where do you think yours comes from?
Oh, definitely childhood. Oh my gosh, so much trauma. Like, why are we such perfectionists as women and as business owners and now as moms? I think for myself, it was the family trauma. And I'm really glad it didn't apply to you, but it definitely applied to me. So my parents were both university educated. And so when we came to Canada, that was the basic minimum. You just have to go to university and get a degree so that you can get a good 9-to-5. And I didn't do that. So that was really difficult for them to accept. That maybe my path was going to look a little bit different than what they had planned for me. And it was difficult for them to share with the family in China what they thought was a failure.
Share with them.
Share with the family in China.
Other choices.
Yes, who are waiting to hear what kind of degree, what kind of scholarship.
Are you an only child? You've said,
I have a little brother, but the culture is very male-leaning and favored. So I was basically not the pride of the family from the start. And then when George came along, love him to pieces. We have a great relationship now, but I definitely developed feelings of jealousy seeing the difference in my treatment. And I think a really big part of myself and my brother's relationship that healed us is when he came to me to acknowledge the unfair treatment between us. He was able to see that as an adult, looking back in the household of the kind of abuse that I received versus, you know, the lesser amount that he received, you know, sexual and physical and verbal. It was very violent. It was very angry. And when you grow up in that environment, you're taught you are worthless. So the only thing that could bring worth to you as a person is your accomplishments. So if you don't bring home accomplishments, you are lower than dirt and you have nothing to show for it. So it was a very not great time in my life growing up that way. And then when I did go to university for political sciences, when I thought I'm going to become a human rights lawyer, I want to join the UN. I want to help the world. I want to help children. I want to be a good person and protect people from ever feeling that way again. And then unfortunately in university, maybe put a trigger warning, but I was sexually assaulted there. And then because we had a lot of the same classes, we were in the same program, it was really difficult for me to go through those classes and see him and persevere beyond that. So I dropped out after some emotional breakdowns and, you know, just not doing great. And then when I did finally drop out, even after therapy and after the campus resources that were put into place and a couple of protections that would, you know, separate us in terms of which cafeteria I would use and which one they would use, I think they did their best. I think everyone is just trying to do their best, but sometimes it's just not what can heal someone in that moment. And for me, how my parents treated me, my mom sort of, I think it was hard for her in a new country with my dad as first generation immigrants to think about leaving someone who's familiar, you know, in a country that's completely unfamiliar. And I try to have empathy for her in that sense. But it was, you know, now that I'm about to be a mom, it's something that I think about a lot. If someone were to hurt my daughter, would I tell her to keep it quiet, or would I do everything in my head to protect her? I would like to think it's the second one. And I would like to think that I have the courage to give up and to sacrifice anything that might make me feel safer, because I wouldn't want her safety to be paramount in this case. So in that sense, I'm still coming to complete peace with that aspect of my life. But my father just has a lot of unresolved issues, I'm sure. And that's probably what drove him to do a lot of the things that he did to me. And then when it came to perfectionism, it was, well, I want to make my parents proud. And since they're not proud of me innately as a human being, what can I bring to the table? And now having this business, Sunday Sparks, a lot of that is tied into what are the results that I can achieve? And if I can't achieve these results, am I a failure? And this messaging is not helpful. And it really does impact my mental health a lot. And this past like 10 months that I started this brand and started designing and putting it out there and putting myself out there for the risk of not being loved and celebrated in the way that I've always wanted to be accepted, it's been such a scary and almost like dark journey. Because even though there are these bright moments where I connect with people who genuinely love what I bring to the table and what I have to offer, and dressing them and just being around them and their positive energy, that has been amazing. But at the same time, because I'm not at the place where I can fully love myself, no matter what anyone thinks of me, I think there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah, I think on that last point you said, I really think it's hard to get to that point until you're in your 40s. I feel like there's an aspect of that that just takes time.
Yeah.
I think maybe, let's say, no trauma, perfect upbringing, you know, all these, everything aligned,
yeah,
feeling very supported. Maybe younger than you can get to that point where you feel. Because even I think of like my parents, I felt very well loved. But I definitely am only now at 45, going on 46, feeling like I really don't care if I piss people off. I'm willing to be who I am, even with people's opinion of that or reaction to it on social media or on whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that some of these things are almost extra pressures that just come with time.
Because you didn't yourself, you didn't go through necessarily the abuse and trauma that would have caused you to have super low self-esteem to start with.
Yeah, I always was very confident, very like rebellious in the sense of I did everything right. You know, I didn't rebel in high school against my parents. Like I would rebel through having maybe the best braids, and I would more rebel through like dressing uniquely and differently the way that I wanted. And I was very, I was able to be that way in my teen years. And then I got very sick with mental illness. And I had it all through my teens, but it just kind of like flare up and I didn't really know what it was. And I would have panic attacks. Agoraphobia developed in my early 20s, had like tons of intense anxiety. I think I was a really competitive dancer. And then I just kind of quit dancing when I was 19. And I think somewhere in there, without the regular movement, I think that's so important for your mental health to be exercising.
Wow.
For the endorphins. And I think I just quit exercising. I moved out on my own. I started to live this adult life and I got really sick. So I think that going through that made me realize that I had to care for myself first, and I could not work in a normal environment. I mean, I had this one instance, and listen, I've talked about it before. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, but I was kept in a, this sounds so bad when I tell you, it always sounds really shocking, but I was like kept in a basement for like my early years at the daycare I went to. So in my small town, I would go to the daycare and she would sleep until noon and I would be sent down into the basement and I wasn't allowed up until lunch.
You and all the other children?
Me alone in my memory is mainly what I remember as being alone. I don't really remember a lot of the details. Sometimes there would be other kids there, but it was dark in the basement. I do remember a little, like, I wasn't allowed to play with their daughter's toys, so I would just like sneak and play with the daughter's toys because they had three kids. I was alone in a basement for hours at 3 years old.
Did you tell your parents about this?
I ended up telling them when I was in kindergarten, so I was only there half time at the daycare. And then I ended up telling them in kindergarten at some point, just nonchalantly, thinking they knew, like as if they would know.
Yes.
Because they would never. And I just remember my mom getting this look on her face, starting to cry and leaving to go give Auntie Terry, was the daycare lady's name, a mouthful.
She was on your side. She believed you completely.
Oh, she was like,
she took
what?
You seriously. Oh, your mom
is 100%.
That is beautiful.
She's still like that. She's 77. She's still, my dad's 80. They're amazing.
I genuinely didn't know that this was what Auntie Terry was doing.
Nobody knew. And then I have to call her aunt. I told her Auntie Terry the whole time, like as if she has any.
Is this your aunt?
Called an auntie. No.
Oh, she's not even your aunt. I thought this was your aunt in the small town.
A lady from the small town. She's passed away. But she probably had, right? It's probably like there was trauma upon things that had happened in her life. And then she would treat me that way. She was probably clinically depressed. She was probably literally like depressed.
Listening until noon when you have a child in your midst and she's a mother herself.
Yeah. And her kids were older and I was in her care. And it was pretty bad.
I think she was struggling.
That was my trauma.
But this is the problem, Tamil. Like oftentimes we do give a lot of grace to people who have their own issues. But when it comes to children,
I
feel that there is a sense of responsibility that comes with being just a human being who is having a child in your care and requiring a certain set of standards to be met.
Yeah, when you're an adult. I mean, she could have went and gotten in big trouble for that.
In this day and age?
No, it would never.
Can you imagine?
No, it would never fly. So I think I did, not from my parents, but I think I remember I would try to earn earn her liking me. So when you talk about wanting approval and trying to do things to gain approval, that's not something that I knew with my own parents, but that's something I recognize with her, who was still part of my story because she was a caregiver of mine.
Yes.
At a young age. So she still I developed in her care.
There was a framework that went in your mind in terms of how to view the world at that age.
Yeah.
And that neglect definitely, like, I am the part of the way you view the world.
So I've always kind of assumed that's where a lot of that anxiety and mental health.
Abandonment.
Yeah, all that stuff that I came from.
You would have had needs at that age that would have to be addressed by an adult that weren't being addressed.
I can't even imagine. I don't know what I did with myself.
Like, three-year-olds don't know how the world works yet. You can't leave them alone. There's a reason why three-year-olds...
In a basement.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
So anyways, that is, I think, a part of my trauma. So with ADHD, I do think, and there's more research coming out all the time, that it is often lots of mental illness is a trauma response. Mm-hmm. And whether it is or isn't, you still have to treat it. You still have to get help. You still have to do either medication or therapy or whatever it is. But it's just interesting to me that is kind of coming out more and more. And I hope it keeps coming out more and more.
Because
I
think we're more open.
We can heal trauma.
Yes.
Like, we can heal trauma in our bodies, not just our minds.
We can rewire our brains. We do have the power for that.
And our body, through different kinds of therapies, I do lots of them. We can, like myofascial, somatic, we can actually release trauma, body talk.
Yes.
So I'm like, I love those because you don't have to do any work yourself. You just have to lay there and the therapist kind of does the work. So I feel like it's the easiest therapy ever.
I've never done it before.
Oh, I mean, I love it. It's very, I feel a very close sense to, and I know God will come up for us because we're both Christian, from the Christian faith, kind of been. A lot of my trauma comes also from the church. Like, yes, not abuse.
Right.
Not abuse.
Right.
I just want to differentiate that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so God will obviously come up. But I feel very connected to God, very close to God when I'm in those therapy spaces. The spirit.
You'll see.
I feel like God's doing work through them.
And is it a female practitioner with her hands?
All of mine are. I know there's male practitioners who do things. I just tend to feel safer with females in a room alone.
I would address
what has happened to me in the past too. I usually take my bra off. First thing I do, Joanne jokes. Joanne is my body talk therapist. She's a well member.
Oh.
And she jokes. She's so funny. She's like, did you get into bed? And she's like, got your bra off? I was like, yeah, first thing I did.
It's a nice way to end the day.
Throw the bra up, get into the bed, and she does her thing. And
I'm although, like, now that I don't wear an underwire, it has hair sore off.
Yeah, I know. It's so much work. Can we talk
to you about that? Like, girl,
still go.
I have underwire on.
Right, you went back after. Because right now with the maternity bras, there are.
Oh my goodness, maternity bras and being pregnant. Okay, Sophia's pregnant.
Thank you. 7 months. 7 months a lot.
Amazing. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, so Sophia's pregnant. So I love that because I feel like we've talked a little bit about our childhood, so we can talk about having kids. Mm-hmm. And we're both business owners and entrepreneurs. Yes, the bras are great. The other thing that's great is not having to suck in.
Yes!
I miss...
Really impressing.
I miss being pregnant because I never had to suck in.
Just let it go, girl.
The 30 months of my life.
Let it hang.
It's such a beautiful round.
It is. And even sometimes I find myself doing the opposite now. I push it out. Like, can you tell I'm pregnant?
Can you tell? Can I make it bigger for you?
Now I feel like a guy flexing.
But
I'm quite proud because your body is doing this incredible thing. You know, and it's not like I'm conscious of anything, but I'm growing a human in here.
And how do you feel about that? Can you tell me a little bit about just your hubby, your, because you two are, you're so in love, like watching you with him. I can't even.
Doing our photo shoot together with you was one of the highlights because I got to see how he looks at me. And I don't often get to see the way he looks at me. I look at him. And he's often looking away because he's very shy. We're married and we have a baby coming and he's still shy.
Oh, my husband is shy. We've been married for 20 some years. He's shy.
Okay. Like he blushes.
You know. Oh, my husband is so shy with like, yeah, not like in certain situations. Oh, he is like gold.
Oh, yes.
Gold. They're gold. Both of our men are actually similar. Both like
they really are. I remember really just like falling in love as a person with your husband because I saw how much he loved.
That's how I feel about your husband.
Oh my goodness. When you were giving that talk at the SWN, the Saskatoon Women's Network that day, do you remember that presentation? And that's where I won the brand photo shoot.
Oh my goodness.
And you were like panicking because your ADHD was like, it was all over the place. Your brain was all over the place. And you've forgotten something very important that day.
Yes, I forgot I had a photo shoot. I forgot my
sample. It was a big part of the day.
I forgot my
your camera.
So I said, we're going to
easily following
SWN.
Yes, I remember that now. Yes, yes. You were offering headshots. And your husband, he just dropped and he came and he brought it and he didn't even expect to thank you. He was like, I'm here. You know, his face was full of concern.
I didn't see him.
I saw him. He was standing out there waiting until you were ready to receive the camera. He would have stood there for as long as he needed for you.
I just saw a really solid guy.
It's really hard sometimes because I know that like every couple we fight and we have issues.
Of course.
And I get frustrated and he gets frustrated with me. But I know how much he loves me. Like he like adores me.
He does.
And that's interesting to know because he's very introverted and more not expressive, right? So I don't always know that because he's not saying things. He's not like you look. He's not flattering.
He's not affectionate either.
No. So I know that now, but I think I think I had a hard time accepting how much he loves me. But people would communicate it to me, and when people would communicate it to me, or I'd see it in a photo,
yes,
then it's you're like, oh my goodness, he loves me so much. Like I'd see photos of him, so I love that you send that because I just think it's such a gift. Photo shoots are such a gift.
They are.
Because you get to see how the person looks at you. And I know with my best friend too, I just did their photos. And there's this one photo and she's like throwing leaves in the air. And her kids are throwing leaves in the air and they're laughing. And her husband is smiling at her. And I die.
Oh,
like I feel all, I've like, shit, I feel heart. All.
I have chills. Mm-hmm. I don't even know this picture or your friend, but I have chills running down my body because I can see that. The way that you are loving life.
I'm so happy I could cry because she loves, because
she's so loved.
She's my friend and she's so loved by her husband.
Yeah.
And like you and, you know, what a gift. And I know people don't have that. I think that's more of a trigger than what you'd said earlier about sexual violence. I think this is more of a trigger because I think people want this. They want to be loved like that and they don't have it.
I almost feel like guilt right now as
and I
bring that up. Yes, no, but it's true because I know my mom
has always wanted that. And they're like separated now after 25
That's
years.
That's so hard. How is that for you as a kid?
It was tough. I mean, like, my mom made it clear that she stayed in that relationship for me, but it never really felt like it was for me with the receiving the treatment that I had. But
yeah,
you know, like it kind of really skewed my worldview a lot.
Was it, Mom?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I think women, we want our husbands to love us.
Oh, we need it. I hear a lot of women share at the well, and I don't realize that people weren't loved by their parents. And it's not that they weren't worthy of love, it's that their parents weren't capable of loving them in the way they needed. Their parents, yes, probably loved them, but in terms of it being a verb, how you treat someone, they didn't know how to love their children. Yeah, whether it's how they treat them, how they talk to them, how they raise them, whatever that is. I think that that's very lacking, because I find that I'll share that, like, I didn't realize how loved I was until I started to really open my world up to, like, many, many people. And, you know, I know so many people now that I see people and I don't remember how I know them or what their name is, but I know that they're meaningful to me. And I hate that, because I want to be able to remember everything about everyone, but it's just gotten too big and I just can't house that many.
Yeah,
I can't house that many.
Your network is too wide.
But how do you feel about having a child then? Like, you talked about having your business and feeling like, I think you said, like, your identity is sort of your success, or your worthiness is sort of enmeshed a bit in the success of your business.
Very much so.
Because of how you were raised. That's not, like, that's clearly why. Because self-worth is attached to success.
Yes.
And it's so what do you, tell me about that? Tell me about that, or do you want it to be different? Like, just talk about that a little bit.
I think marrying my husband is what taught me that I could, as a human being, just have worth and be loved. Because before that, it was not possible to even consider this as a part of my life, that my life could have any value apart from my accomplishments. So it wasn't really until, or like the number of zeros in my bank account, like that is what could be proof that I was good and I was worthy of having a living breath as a human being. And then to have that kind of pressure, it's not sustainable. So, you know, I was always like going up and down and up and down. And, you know, it landed me for 26 days in a mental institution, because that was like a really, really down part of my life when I realized that I wasn't in a very successful, quote unquote, place from what I was taught as a child was success. So, you know, for a time, the self-worth was lower than low. And slowly, as I spend more time with someone like Ryan, who has self-worth, yeah, in who he is,
yeah,
and who doesn't ever get ruffled by things that people say about him, I've never met anyone like that. And I want that. And you're right. Maybe it comes with age, because he's 47.
But it's also his character. My husband's the same.
Is he? Even when he was younger?
Always. I mean, I've been with him since he was 14. Always.
He's always been assured.
Yes.
And confident and,
yes,
comfortable.
Yes.
And kind.
Yes.
Because when you are those three things, when you're
kind of boring, just kidding.
Yes.
Don't listen to this.
Yes.
Don't listen to this.
Stay boring. We don't do anything. We don't do it. I'm like, why are we not doing anything? Why are we not dating?
Because he doesn't need to. Because he knows you love him. He doesn't need those acts. He doesn't need the dopamine. Because he's so calm and grounded and assured. So I think you have to know, if you're wanting to marry someone like that or be with someone like that, that's really stable, it does come with that sometimes it can be boring.
I think
for
boring
people for you and I.
Yes.
Who want a bit of excitement, mm-hmm, these big dreams, big goals. We love the like you and I, like, oh my goodness, we would be crazy creating things. If we put us in a room together, we will come out the other side. It will be brilliant.
Almost too much.
It might be too much. But I don't think so.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, but I think you have to then find, because I know for myself, like, my friends and the different work things I do are what fill up those parts. You know, that's how I get those other aspects of my personality.
Fulfillment.
Yeah.
But it's like a peak fulfillment, whereas, like, what we have with our husbands is a steady.
That's why we can do this, because I never have to fear. I'm always grounded. I'm always on stable ground. So I can play.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That is a beautiful metaphor for what I want to give this child.
You will. We will. 100% you will.
The fun life.
Pretty helping.
That children. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. It's already here.
I want her to be born and to realize that the world is a loving and safe space because she can choose to have people in her life who make it so. You know, and people are mean, people are nasty, but then you people are also kind and good and brave.
Yeah.
You know? So it's about letting that kind of energy in.
Yes.
And I've always been very, like, working in customer service, I find you meet the most arrayed and variety of people. And for me, working in sales all these years before opening my business has really helped because you need to strengthen your skin. I have naturally very thin skin. So I take things personally. I'm offended or I'm hurt by what you said to me. Your words cut me like a knife. My wounds are bleeding. And all this, I'm so dramatic. And Ryan's just like, oh my goodness, not this again. You know, and he has to deal with a lot of this. And poor guy, he's still here. But for me, what taught me that people have the ability to like get thicker skin.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
And I have had to.
It's possible. Yeah, even if I'm not born that way.
100% that's possible. My goal is to be unoffendable.
That's what I want to.
Yeah, you can't offend me because I have clear understanding of who I am and who you are.
And identity is needed a lot.
And identity is self-awareness, self-compassion.
Yeah.
We have to be able to be aware of ourselves and how we impact others and how we, the choices we make, what they do for us. Do they hurt us? Do they help us? But then also, when we screw up, because we can have compassion for ourselves. That's big.
That's almost a life mission for me.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can make that a yearly goal, but it's 2025.
I don't think that's a quick thing.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the things we talk about, like at the well, are not quick.
Big topics.
They're slow and it takes time and it's okay. It's okay. And business is the same. So let's now we can segue to business. Business is, and every year I say this, okay, it's been, you know, 1 year since I opened the well, 2 years, 3 years, 6 years. And I feel like I finally know what we're doing. And I'll tell you, I say that every year.
Okay.
I think I know it every year. And then it evolves. And I know, but this year I actually feel like I can speak it and understand. And I actually know why and what for the first time.
Wow.
So I think I had to put the time in.
And you had a big shift very recently.
Yeah. And we lost 2 years to COVID. So I do feel like there's also that. We've really only been in business for 4 years.
To be fair. Yes.
To be fair. Not to anyone who started a business in like 2018.
Yes.
You lost a couple years there. Just we are getting going.
Unless it was a purely e-commerce business.
Then you did great. Yes.
Congratulations for starting in 2019
and e-commerce.
That's right. But for me, I think 2024 has been a tough year for a lot of business owners I've spoken to.
Yeah, it's especially retail. People are just, things are only now starting to figure out what you're supposed to be, kind of what to do. Mm-hmm. Like everything's just been a bit of a mess for the last COVID and then the other like 2 years, let's say they're 2 years now figuring it out. Now, 2025, I think, okay, maybe we'll be able to see some patterns in behavior, in human behavior. I'd be able to make some decisions as to what's the best way to run a business like yours.
Retail.
Like retail.
Yes.
Clothing and online.
It is really, there's a lot of trends and analytics that you can look into, but human behavior is always changing too.
It is.
Right? And mm-hmm. I don't think, like, whenever I talk to women these days, it's always about the price, the cost of living. And it's not like we live necessarily like I live. First of all, we live in Saskatchewan. So this isn't even the province with the highest cost
no,
of living.
No, we, people generally, if we're a healthy mind and spirit and body, we generally live pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're quite blessed that way. But when it comes to the basic necessities being met, like even just volunteering at the food bank, which really opened my eyes to how much we don't know about the people who are in need.
Oh.
In our community.
People are struggling.
Right. And just to see that level and then to go to an industry which has always been my passion. And I do believe there is a need for it and a market mm-hmm. for it. But I also believe that this is something of a luxury to buy nice clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in the shelter, the food and the...
Oh, you're above that. Same with photos.
Right.
It's a bit of a luxury item. Mm-hmm. And you do have to sell to the people who can afford it.
Yes.
Not so that you, and not because you don't want to provide for people who can't, but because only in having a living, having a business that is sustainable and successful in your sense of the word, can you actually also help people. So
exactly.
You have to be making, you have to have your feet under you in business in order to actually be able to give back. So I really feel like people, I really feel that women need to take the pressure off. I'm just, because I think this is mainly women who listen, but you don't have to give back in those first 5 years of running a business. You don't have to worry about that. You can focus on building your business, finding your target market, finding your why, your mission. Just focus on that. Be consistent. You can give back after you're done your baby. That's your baby. Like, a business is a baby. So you should not be expecting, like, now I'm 45. Like, my business has been 6 years. I have my photography company. I'm pretty, that's very established business.
It is, yeah.
I can do free sessions all I want now. I can serve the people who need to be served.
You're in a place where you're able to do that.
But you can't when you're starting a new business, and you can't when you're having children. That's not your season. We get mixed up. We think we have to join the nonprofit. Do more, Sophia. Do more.
There's a lot of pressure.
No, do less.
Saying no has been really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're starting a business and you're trying to say no, but then you want to say yes to all the opportunity while also saying no to the things that might drain you.
Yeah. I think it's like figuring out what is actually an alignment and where are your people? And then you can say yes to those things.
Yes.
Guilt-free. And then no to everything else.
Clear messaging and clear audience.
Clear audience is so needed. Even, I think, in order to get your messaging, in order to get any of that, you have to have a clear audience. And it's honestly really hard.
It is, right?
I feel like the audience is like the hardest thing. That's like the thing you have to figure out first. Well, that's not going to happen. So just start the business.
I never understood that.
You'll figure out the audience in time.
They come to you. They show you who they are.
They show you
right?
who they are. You can't determine that before you've started. Unless you've done it before.
Yes, which a lot of us haven't. Starting our first business in a certain industry.
So I think just, it's okay. It's okay.
To keep learning.
It's okay to not know. And it's okay to not get it right.
I had this customer profile that I drafted for my business plan when I first started in February.
Still do that. But
it doesn't really look like her.
No.
The customers that come in and are my best customers and are the kindest and the repeat ones, they're not necessarily the Savannah Wilson that I crafted in a business plan.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's always evolving, and I feel very humbled.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how long was I?
I thought, I thought, oh, is it like creatives or is it like professionals? It's actually the woman in the middle. It's like the woman who walks the line. She's like, she's a professional, but she still wants to access like her creativity.
Yes.
Or she's a creative, but she wants to get things a little bit more in order so she can make more profit. It's like the woman, or she might own a big business, but she just really wants to like still be a woman.
And it feels very specific what you're describing, but there's so many of us who are
You're all actually very different from each other. You just happen to want to be in touch with your full self. You're not wanting to put in the box of businessman, like I need to be this so I can fit into this world, like corporate, or like I'm the artist who wants to be the starving artist and just create and like never really get it organized into a business. I think we're really like that woman who wants both the business and she wants the creativity.
Like bringing feminine energy into ambitious work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intersections.
We're very intersection.
Right? Yeah.
I'm very like that. Like I'm always kind of walking the line.
I like that about you, that you feel so confident that you can explore different aspects of yourself.
Yeah.
I find that there is not a lot of freedom in my own personality that allows me to go for that exploration. And it's like that you need to release basically fear of failure and just view business as growing.
Experimentation.
And like, I feel like I'm not getting myself permission to do that yet. So it's been 10 months. Like I opened this business.
It's like nothing.
10 months
in the business world.
Right.
In business years.
In business, not even one. And I just feel like I have so many standards that I had for myself for this year one that I haven't met.
See, I think that's where when we set goals and we set these achievements and this manifestation, we can go too far.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we have to, I just think we always have to leave room. It's like creating a container. I think if we think of a business more of a container and then we have like these things we want, but there's kind of like bouncing around in there. Mm-hmm. And we were aware of them, but it's like, okay, well, that didn't work year one. I'm going to put that for year two. I'm just going to leave it to year two. Who cares? Who cares? I make some goals. It's my business. I make the goals.
And I think,
well, that didn't work this year. Okay, next year.
Have you always been a service-based business, though?
Yeah.
Because I do wonder if there is a little bit more pressure with product-based businesses.
I have not gotten into it because, yeah, it scares me. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so when I was a service-based business only, which was a music teacher, music theory, ukulele, voice, and piano. When I was teaching that, I was the business. So my time was the business. But now my products and my offerings are the business. And my personality is a part of it, but it's not the only thing that's going to make me money now. Selling my product is going to make me money.
Yeah.
That's what's going to create sustainability for this projection of what it's going to look like 5, 10 years down the road.
So then is it more the having to buy the product and like invest and then the pressure, or what is kind of the biggest hurdle? Like what are some goals that you didn't hit?
Digital advertising. I got into it a little bit and then I realized the costs and then I scaled back because guess what? You don't, when you're starting a business, you don't have, well, maybe some people do have unlimited funds, but
we had
to choose, right? And we did inventory and then we had a little budget for advertising. And you know what? I've made a lot of really expensive mistakes this year because I didn't invest in the right forms of advertising. I invested in content managers when I didn't even have content to manage yet. I didn't invest in content creation as much as I wanted to. I feel like I didn't do enough research into who I was working with and who I was hiring because I would like the person. I think business needs to be so much more research-based than I realize with my intuitive, creative brain.
Yeah.
And I can usually, so like marrying Ryan, that was my creative, intuitive brain saying this guy's the right guy. And I was right. And thankfully, he's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. But I wasn't necessarily taking a look very clearly at all the checks in the boxes and making sure that it was right. It's just I just knew. But in business, you can't just know. You actually have to have maybe a spreadsheet or a track record or things that are like the enemy, like a bar graph. Like, what are these things? I don't like numbers, but you have to be able to work with your weaknesses and address them and incorporate them or find someone who can do them.
I think we're afraid to look at numbers in case they are the opposite of what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And in case they show us we're failing, but we actually just really want to keep doing it. I think we're afraid, but we need to look at them without judging. And Tahira really taught me to do that. My CFO with the Well, she's the one who's in Toronto.
You're going to see her soon.
I'm...
Yes.
I think that she helped me understand that it's just information and we don't have to apply positive or negative feelings to it. We look at the information and we make decisions based on it, but it's not emotional. And I'm not saying, like, I understand feminine leadership. We have feelings. We need to listen to them or they get louder. But we don't have to let our feelings drive the car. Our intuition can be a guide. Our feelings can be a guide. Numbers can be a guide. You know, structure can be a guide. Business plan, like all these things, algorithm can be a guide. It's not, none of them are in the driver's seat. I think we're in the driver's seat. And there's just all information. And we just take them each for who they are. And we make a decision and then we make it work as best we can. Oh, that was the wrong decision. Not going to judge that. I'm not going to think, oh, you're so dumb. I can't believe you made that decision. You're so stupid.
That's my inner dialogue. Oh, yes.
Don't think I don't know. Don't think. I mean, we're all in it with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just need to say, that's interesting. Oh, that didn't go as I thought I was going to do. What do I need to tweak? What do I need to do differently?
Right.
I think it's the judgment that gets us in trouble. And we feel like we're being judged almost by the numbers.
Maybe that's what it is.
Failure.
Yes. It's a judgment that I assign to the fact that when I look at these numbers, I know I'm going to have feelings of criticism, self-criticism.
And you can really play with numbers is the thing that I realized. Like when you hear about businesses that are these like, $1 billion or million, they're all in debt.
It is revenue.
They're not all, but
it's not. Yeah.
It's revenue or it's not revenue. It's projected revenue. Future.
That's not that's a fake number.
It's a fake number. Okay. They use fake numbers. You can really, like, even look at what the well did. So when I was having such a hard time with my team just talking about not having membership anymore, we had these 90 members are like, we're going to lose these members. We're going to lose these women. And Renee said to me the other one day, she said, we have 900 people in our email list. So we're losing 90, but we're growing to 900. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. She's like, you're attaching the small monthly membership fee to your whole business line. You're so afraid of losing that, right? Like that, wow, that little bit of money. Okay, it's not working. Let it go. Now we went from 90 to 900. That's a win. Yes, that's the 900 huge. People are members for free, but they're a part of our community. They read our newsletters. They care. They're invested enough to stay.
Yes.
And now we can talk. I get to talk to all of them. I had to have one voice for the members and one voice for the subscribers and one voice for Instagram. It's just simplified it. And we just use the numbers to create a positive outlook.
I love
that. Rather than a negative outlook.
Totally reframed.
We just reframed it to work for us.
It really was, nothing changed in terms of
nothing. I choose to frame it positively, knowing that this was the right decision. So then I need to make it work. I heard this lady, she was on Instagram. She was an older woman and I think I saved it, but she said, there's no regret. You can't have regret because regret is based on prediction and you can't predict the future. So anytime you're making a decision, you're basing it on prediction and you can't predict the future. You don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So you can't actually have regret because you can't ever know what the other choice would have brought.
Because regret is basically, I should have.
Yeah, but you're basing it on a made up situation.
Exactly.
So you can't really, like, something might go wrong, but it's not really regret. It's because you don't actually know what would have happened mm-hmm. if you would have made the other decision. Mm-hmm. So she said, instead of regret, just make a choice and then make it work. Like marriage. Like look at motherhood. Look at motherhood. Look at who you chose to marry. Make a choice and make it work. Let's talk about babies. Because we're really long. We like to talk
for we're everywhere. I know. I had the list prepared and everything from what you sent me. And then we haven't talked.
We're not using it. We're too. I knew this would go like.
We tried.
But tell me how you're feeling. Let's go with this. So I have three teenagers in the house now. So I've been a mom for like 18 years, you know, since I was pregnant. And it's been a whirlwind with having kids and having businesses. And I'm so glad that my photography was established when I had kids. That was nice for me. It worked out well. The well I started when my daughter went into grade one. And that's been great, but also hard because I finally had free time and I gave it all up. But now I'm at a point now where I feel like I've blossomed again, bloomed again, and everything is looking the right way in my life right now. Time-wise, everything. So I feel like, yes, I went through that, but now I'm in a really good spot. And it just took time to figure out what I needed.
As a mom and multi-entrepreneurial, yes, would you say that it takes about 5 years for a business to get to a place where you feel confident running it?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the standard.
Okay.
I think when you add a baby in there,
right.
I think it's like just the, I know everyone says they grow up really fast, but like, I mean, it's not that fast. The days are long and the years are short with kids. And that's what business too, I would say. But just like, take the pressure off. I mean, if you feel like you just want to lay with your baby in bed all day, then lay with your baby in bed all day.
Even if that means the business is not getting the input that day.
My advice would be, it just doesn't really matter.
That's my concern. Like, I don't want to miss out on my daughter's childhood.
Don't.
All the precious moments.
Don't.
I'm not going to get those back.
And you have a long life. Like I'm 45 and I feel like it's just starting. And I feel like I feel like everyone discounts anything over 40 or 50, but we actually have all the time in the world now and no one cares.
I'm hearing a lot actually, of
like,
women
free 40s, like amazing. Love their lives now.
So I think you're in the right place.
I think you're like enjoying yourself with your baby, an experience that you can't get back.
Yeah.
Business, you can always start a business. You can always And you have your business, so you could just grow it slow. Why not just let it grow slow?
Is that okay? Like, a part of me is like, do I even give myself permission?
From someone who doesn't slow. Like things to go slow, yes, it's okay to let it grow slow. I will tell you that it is more than okay. It's actually wonderful. And if you can live without the revenue, so if your life, quality of life is good, then take the pressure off. If it's a single mom who's having a baby who is needing the income, totally different story. Mm-hmm. But if I'm speaking to you, and if I think you guys are pretty stable.
We have a farm.
So just believe what you have and let it be that.
Just live simply.
Just let it be. And when you need to go take a week to go to a retreat and get inspired, or you want to go to the show in Vegas, then go. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to be creative and inspired, then go do that.
That's the thing. You also need to re-energize yourself.
Well, I have to be creating all the time.
Yes. And I find that, like, there's almost this pressure to not take a break, not take your foot off the gas, because you're in the very beginning stages of building, like you said, your baby.
You're not going to miss it.
No, I don't.
No, I mean, you're not going to miss the mark. You're not going to lose the opportunity. The opportunity isn't going to pass you by. Those things aren't true. The alignment is going to happen at the right time for you. I think people think, oh, well, if I don't jump on this opportunity now, because I think that's the messaging we hear.
Which, unfortunately, the algorithm does not help.
No.
Because that's exactly how social media works. You don't post consistently for a little while. You take a little mental health hiatus. You lose 400 followers.
I've never lost them that.
Like, how you must have found the right audience then. Because
they just don't care. They're not unfollowing me because they're not seeing me.
This is what I'm saying.
They don't care. They're like, oh, she's back. Yay. Like, they're
right. Good. And I would never unfollow someone if they went quiet for a
period. Because you would never think of them because it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right. Or I would check in. Like, how are you doing? You used to post consistently. And I did not.
If you're not seeing them, you're not unfollowing them. Just let it be. Just let it be. You really, like, I think your business is different because it's e-commerce, but like, how many clients do you really need invested to be successful?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have that many followers, like, I think on Merge is one of my most profitable businesses. And we have like 300 or 400 followers. We make the most money out of any of my companies.
Because followers don't always equate sales.
No. And when we just started, and I know that it's product. I understand that there's a difference with product. But I mean, I just feel like you have so much amazing stuff coming your way. And you just need to enjoy every single second of it. I'm so stressed.
I'm like, you saying that, I'm like, this is like the opposite of how I feel, but I want to feel that way.
Do you mean, does it stress you out that I say enjoy every second of it?
Yeah, because I'm enjoying it.
Oh, I don't want to put that on you. I actually didn't like it when people would say that to me.
Well,
I take it back.
The thing is, I want to. And I think that's a great reminder because this is a beautiful, beautiful time, you know, referencing this pregnancy and referencing the cheerleader that I have.
Maybe not enjoying. What would be another thing you could do?
I want to appreciate it.
Be aware of it. Like, be present. Be like, take moments.
Right.
Maybe this would be better. Reframe. Take moments throughout the day where you notice it.
Mm.
How about that? Doesn't that feel easier?
Yeah.
Like, just take moments throughout the day where you notice it. Because I can't enjoy every moment.
That's a lot of pressure, right?
Yes. I'm glad I said that because I take that back. But also, I'm glad I said that because
I want to be grateful.
It makes me want to slap myself across the face because people would say that to me and it would drive me crazy when I had little babies.
But you see how they mean well? Because you said it to me just now because you love me for me.
I know.
And you want me to be happy.
Holy shit, that's such a cool moment. But I think it is like, take notice.
Yes. Take notice, be aware, take notice. Bask maybe in that one moment.
In a moment.
Moment to moment. This is a message like that I got
maybe
today.
Look back fondly, like look back on a moment and be like, wow, that was a great moment. Because I sometimes can't fully appreciate the moment until later. And
yes.
Why can't we have permission to do that?
Enjoy the moment right now where it's actually happening.
Yeah, but maybe we can't.
I struggle with that.
Maybe
definitely.
We can't. So then if we can't, then don't fight it. Enjoy it later.
Let it come around like a little snack.
Enjoy it later. Enjoy the crumbs on your shirt.
Yes, take the croissant home. It was chocolate filled. I bet you didn't realize that.
No, I didn't even taste it. But now,
like, it was so good.
Like, don't you?
You know, that's like whenever parents surprise their kids with a trip, I'm like, why did you do that to those poor kids? For me, thinking about the trip in 6 months is 80% of a trip.
Yeah, anticipation.
And then going is like great, but you're kind of having a hard time taking it all in.
Really?
And then after coming home and thinking about it, is the other part.
And that pictures play a big part in that too.
And I was going to say that, but I was trying to not plug my business.
No, but that's probably why you love photography so much.
Yeah, I love it so much. I love to look back on
the moment. So I think it is like the pre, the during, and the after. And like, I know people say live in the moment, but like, if you have a hard time with that, then think about what's coming, be excited, and be grateful for what's past. What's wrong with that? What did you get on your phone? Tell me what you got.
Oh, I was just going to say that this is a moment that I want to appreciate in the future. I just got this message from a client because I offer this service where I go around and I bring clothes to clients who are either maybe not very mobile or they're super busy and they just can't come to an actual store. And, you know, not everybody's really into this online shopping stuff. A lot of people do, especially in our scammy sort of unethical e-commerce kind of world direction.
Yeah,
that we're getting into
it.
We don't trust it. And I'm like, I totally get it. I'm a new business. You don't trust me yet. So I bring to women curated closets.
Yeah, I think it's the best. You did that for my friend Chelsea.
I love her so much. And I've done it for other women of the well.
Yes.
That I'm so grateful that I got to meet them.
Yeah.
Because they have become great friends and clients.
Yeah.
And so I did that again today for someone who bought 3 items from the closet that I brought her. And she just texted me, I'm sorry I'll miss your cute baby bump, because she has to leave her place of work. And I brought her to her place of work. So in between meetings, she can just try on clothes and then decide what she wants. And then I go and then I bring back the clothes that she said no to. And then I send her like an e-invoice and then she can keep the clothes. So it was like shopping at your place of work or home. And she said, you're the cutest and a great local businesswoman. And this is from a fellow businesswoman that I really, really look up to and I really respect her.
Are you going to copy and paste it into your notes, love notes?
I think I should start one of those things.
Yeah, and you should in your notes in your phone.
Okay, I like that idea.
Yeah. And yes, girl, we got to celebrate.
I take screenshots, but I don't really look back enough.
Yeah,
and appreciate the screenshots.
Don't you feel like, are you able to process compliments like that in the moment?
No.
No, me neither. I have to look back later.
I literally want to walk away and hide my head some reason.
Me too.
I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Hide my head in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why do I not want to accept your kindness?
Well, it's because something to do with our upbringing. I mean, I think that's like human nature.
Is it?
I don't
We're
know.
Just so embarrassed. Like, I feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like, how come you're being so nice to me? Even though, like, I have to acknowledge I did.
How come you're being so nice to her?
Work. You know, and I took a lot of time to curate that closet for her and to understand her style.
We're a great service provider. I think that's the thing, too, is when you really love what you do and you really love people. And you want people to feel good and you believe in your product, then this is what you do. This is how you serve people. Like, you go to their place of work and bring them a closet and they can try it on during their breaks.
Right.
Like, that's like a luxury. So when I think of that, so I feel like you have a lot of clients who are like that. You like to give that kind of service.
I do.
So do you feel like you almost need a higher end product, a more expensive product? Because that's the clients you're attracting are these like executive women who want this service. So in order to cover your time, I wonder if you need higher priced garments.
Even higher.
Higher.
Which is so funny because I just had someone in my local town, Rosetown, walk in the other day and say, everything's too expensive. I shop from here.
I'm not sure she's here.
But exactly. But then when she walked away, I was like, you know, that was an uncomfortable comment to hear as a business person. But also, I wouldn't have wanted it. But because she wouldn't appreciate what I'm offering.
And now I'm telling you, get more expensive items.
French tulle and lace has been, I think, a bit too much for Rosetown. As a small town, small hockey town, you know, a lot of sports,
What's the range of your items?
So I have t-shirts and tops from 60-ish.
Yeah.
That go up to... I had dresses the 200-300.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just think, like, and take note of who you like to serve, of where they work, what they do. I know you're already doing this, but also, like, take, and I'm saying this for the people listening to, take note of that, of how much you enjoy serving those women. Like Chelsea too, right? Business owner.
Yes.
Have money.
Yes.
I mean, she's listening.
Well, hi, Chelsea.
You've got money, Chelsea. I know you do. You're spendy. I know you.
She's the right client.
She's the right client, yeah. Right? That's the client you want to serve because you give a luxury service. So your client is the client who wants the luxury service. Yes. Not, she doesn't mind if it's more money. Sure, she still may be like watching, but like, is she, you know, she just wants what she wants.
I had two women come in this past week and they just made my whole month because they walked in separately, totally unrelated, said, I want a new closet and I want your help.
I'm just not sure how we're not defining this as highly successful because this, everything you're saying to me is sounding like huge wins and really good, really successful.
And I feel like I have, you're right. I'm very, very grateful for these women. And I feel like if by not acknowledging it, I'm not acknowledging my gratitude toward them. But I'm so grateful
of your clients.
Yeah.
It's like just more of this for 2025. Maybe. That's my feeling, like more of this for Sophia for 2025. And you know what else is so great about this is it works with a baby.
Because of the mobile aspect, you mean?
Yeah, it works because it's less clients.
Yes.
For a higher price.
This is my
people dream. Who get to know you, who want you specifically to, and you get to know what they like, and you start shopping with them in mind when you're getting your product. And they want to see your baby.
They told me they would be back to meet her in the spring.
This is it. This is it. I'm telling you, this is it. And it's only been 10 months. You've already figured it out. That is so fast.
They're amazing women out there.
I reframe everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for being on my team.
So I don't know what we accomplished on this podcast.
A little bit off script, but super fun.
I should just have just named it off script.
Off script is the name of your podcast. I think that
I'll name it. This one off script. Sophia.
We're doing our best.
Thank you.
We had fun.
Okay, how do I stop it?